Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
Glory be to God. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. And his mercies endure it forever. Just join me in this praise that is related to the message of this morning. It's a praise that says that the Lord is Jehovah Jireh, the great provider. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's the great provider. He's the great provider. He's the great provider.
He's the great provider.
Hey,
he will surely provide for me and provide for you.
He's the great provider.
He's the great provider.
Jesus is the great provider.
He's the great provider.
I say
he will surely provide for me and provide for you.
Jesus is great provider.
He's the great provider.
Jesus is great provider.
He's a great provider.
He's a great provider. Oh.
He's a great provider.
Hallelujah.
He will surely provide for me. And provide for you.
If you believe that God is our great provider, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shout hallelujah. The Lord is our great provider. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. He will provide when there seems to be no way. He will make a way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, praise team. God bless you. The Lord, our rock, our refuge, our help, our shield, our hiding place, he is the great provider. And Lord, we thank you. Look at the great things you provide for us, Lord. The air we breathe. Billions of people over the whole earth are breathing in day in and day out. If it is for sale, how many of us will be alive today? If oxygen is for sale for every humanity, they will bottom it and lock it up and share it, and many of us will die because we couldn't afford it. But look at how abundantly you provide in your providence. The sunshine, Lord, the things you have made, all attest that you are a great provider. Yet, Lord, this morning I want to say that we have personal needs. We have situations in our life when we need that great provider. And Lord, today answer us in the name of Jesus. Those things, Lord, that keep us at times awake in the night, that our souls cry in the midnight hours and say, Lord, make a way. Make a way for your children. Make a way for us this day. And let your name be glorified. For we recognize you, Lord, as our Jehovah Jireh, the great provider, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I am that I am is the title of the message. I am that I am, I change not, part 2. We preached on this, the seven, or what some call the seven revelative names of God. And we preached on it last time, and we preached on Jehovah, Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord who is our banner. And today we are taking the second part of it that says Jehovah Jireh. Amen. That great provider. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Certainly, we all can attest that God is able to provide. Amen. We all can attest in one thing or the other that the Lord has provided and made a way when there seems to be no way. Today, we want to buttress that understanding and use some word to encourage some of us, really encourage some of us, who might be in a situation and say, wow, I really want to see him provide for me also. And also to bring out a point along the way that there is a direct correlation to obedience and faithfulness for Jehovah Jireh to manifest for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Today is one of the greatest messages across the whole body of Christ. People get excited when they know, I have a God that can provide. I want God to provide. And because we are needy children, we are really needy children, a lot of things. Our finance, our health, our children, our wife, our husband, our ministry, our this work. So many things we need help from God. And we look like David and say, where will my help come from? You bottom out and say, it is only one place and one place alone. It is from God, who is Jehovah Jireh. Amen? That we provide that ram in the ticket for us at the appointed hour. So let us quickly read some of the word that we're going to use for preaching or ministration of this message this morning. It's Exodus chapter 3:14, please. Exodus 3:14. To lay the foundation. Amen. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. And he says, for I am the Lord, I do not change, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And lastly, Numbers chapter 23, Numbers 23 verse 19, Numbers 23, 19. God is not a man, amen, that he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. Had he said, and shall he not do it? Or had he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So today we lay the foundation that if he is Jehovah Jireh, 2,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, about 5,000 years ago in the days of Abraham, he's still the same to me and to you today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And as I said before, we are needy children. So we have need in the physical. We have need in the material level, the spiritual, and the emotional even. There are so many areas of our life that we need God to provide that ram in the ticket. And God is able to do it to his glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? But I want to point out this morning an area that we at times miss out on. When we talk of God being able to provide, we don't remember, we don't see that there are patterns, ways for God to provide for his children. It may not apply to everybody, but I think for majority of believers, there is a direct correlation of God's providence to faith and obedience, faithfulness and obedience to his word and to God. Amen? We use Abraham as an example of God being able to provide. And as I want to reiterate again that, yes, he's able to provide. But let's look at Abraham, and then we go down from there to teach about the other part. Those of us who are hanging on the balance, who are looking onto the mountaintop and say, what of me, Lord? What of me? And so on and so forth. So, but then, Abraham was called by God, and the calling is special in that God told him to leave everything he had. Everything this man has, building, material, friendship he has created over the years, a lot of things from his own native land, from his own country, and say, leave them all and go to a promised land where I will show you. Didn't even show him where. And just pack roots and everything, uproot them, and just leave to this land that I will show you. And the promise is that you will inherit this land. I will bless you in this place. I will multiply you. I will give you all these great things, even to all the generations to come of your children. And Abraham hearkened unto God. He took Lot with him, his nephew. May not be that God did not call Lot, but he called him also. He took him with him and then went together. And Lot later on became headache. But Abraham went in obedience to God's word and took everything, his wife, his servants, his slaves, his whatever they have slaves in those days, his material and spiritual, everything he has, he uprooted them and left everything behind to follow God. Another point to show the faithfulness of Abraham is that immediately or sometime when he got to this land, the so promised land, one of the things he noticed and he found out is that there is a grievous famine in the land. I want to bring this about because I'm going to go, the main topic of my message this morning is to encourage some of us. And I'm coming to that. But I want to lay the foundation of what happens. Why am I encouraging some of us? Because many of us have been waiting for some things for years. Many of us have been waiting for some things for weeks or days or months. And we are just looking and say, Lord, when will you come through for me? I want to let you know, one, God will come through. Amen. He never failed. He will come through. But there is also process to some of these things. And at times, they are very challenging. So this man packed everything and left and came to this land. And when he came, there was a grievous famine in the land. Didn't you tell me to come here? My cattle are dying. My goats are dying. My servants, everybody, the income is diminishing because everything, there's a grievous, the Bible says it's a grievous famine. So Abraham made the mistake some of us make, and I'll point to that later on. He packed up and decided to leave the promised land for a plan B, his own plan, and went to the land of Egypt. And in Egypt, if not for God, he would have lost his wife. Because his wife is so beautiful that he was afraid. This is a land of ungodly people. And when they see a wonderful, good-looking woman, they want to take it away from the husband. The king of Egypt decided to take Sarah, but for God's intervention. At the end of the day, not going into long story, he was kicked out again from Egypt. And he came back to where? To Canaan, where God told him that, this is where I'm going to bless you. He stayed in obedience there in the midst of the trials and things that is going on. He didn't go anywhere again. But certain situations happen in there too. The Lord he brought out to come with him to this new land. They started having quarrel. There was a fight between the children, the servants of Lot and Abraham. To the point that Abraham had to call his nephew and say, my nephew, he didn't tell him go that way. I'm the senior. I'm going to take this. He said, look, like the Bible say, in honor, preferring one another. Choose to go this side, and I'll go this side. Choose that side, and I'll go this side. So that the land we have, where we are now, famine has happened, all these things has happened, and it's not able to contain us, contain our cattle to feed and so on. But choose where you want to go, and I will go. And Lord, choose first. There must have been things that happened along the way. And he chose the side of Sodom because it looked so nice in that place. And he chose it and Abraham went the other way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That shows faithfulness. That shows obedience to God's word. Amen. And then to show you this man, the character, the nature of this person that inherited these promises and manifested to us, Jehovah Jireh. When there was an issue and Lot, the nephew, was captured with everything he has. Some kings came, marauders in those days, pirates or whatever I call them, they came and captured him, captured a lot of other places in Sodom. He did what? He put his life on the line. He took of himself hundreds of his own trained servants, those that are within his own household, to pursue this enemy that have captured Lot. And if some of us will say, well, that young man deserves what is coming to him. Look at him, I brought him out, and of course he is quarreling with me over the land. When I said to him, choose where you want to go, he didn't even give me consideration as an elder to say, no, sir, you choose first. No. Abraham did not look at all these things that we, some of us, can look at. He rather put his life on the line for his own nephew that they had quarreled with. Forgive him, moved on, and this time he put and went and captured all those things by the grace of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To the point that he said the wealth they captured was so much, I believe it is the king of Sodom that come to him and say, look, take all the gold, take all the silver, take all the material things, just give us the persons. He said, no. Again, he put God first. Obedience, faithfulness to God. He said, I will not even take a shoe lash, a farthing, a kobo, a dime from you. Lest they say, I have made Abraham rich. It is God that has blessed me, that prospered me. I will not succumb to you tomorrow saying, if not for what I have given Abraham. He didn't take the spoils of war because he wanted to exalt and uplift the name of the Lord. So what happened is that he gave it up. Rather, he paid tithes of what he had, even to that king of Salem. In those days, known as somebody who have no beginning or end. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And so we went on from there to the point where, remember that at the beginning, God made a promise to one thing that he does not have. It's a billionaire. He has everything, hundreds of servants. He has riches, but he does not have a child. And this man was called upon by God with this promise. But I was told, and we found out from the scripture, that for 25 good years, I pray, Lord, please do not put us through that in Jesus' mighty name. If you make a promise to Emmanuel, hurry up and fulfill it. I want it done. But still, he stood his ground for 25 good years. Every day. At the beginning, he was told, change your name for Abraham to Abraham. Why? Because you are father of nations. He quickly changed his name, told everybody, all my contract from now has to be Abraham. Everywhere my name is Abraham. My servants don't call me Abraham. I'm a father of nations. But that promise waited for 25 good whole years. At the end of 25 years, the Lord visited Sarah again, and she conceived as if one is from the dead. It's a type of Jesus Christ. What happened is that now Sarah had a child, and what happened is that she had a beautiful kid, and Bible says maybe about 14 years, the same God came and made a request that is so hard, and made a request that is so challenging. What we hold dear, what is most important to us, what we give our life to retain. God asked him, take your only son and go and do what? Sacrifice it as a burnt offering unto the Lord. God does not even sanction that. That is what God hated among these heathens around about killing. But God told that, and he knows the voice. He knows the person who is speaking to him. This is not hearsay. This is from the Lord himself. In obedience, in faithfulness, the next morning, the Bible says, he packed up, took his son, and had a very terrible 3 days. Every night is waiting for God to come and say, well, I'm kidding. Every night is waiting for God to come and say, well, don't worry about it again. I was just trying to test you out. The next morning come, and that voice didn't come back, didn't say no or yes again. These spoken once, and Abraham had it. He knew it is from the Lord. To the point that a heartbreaking question came from the son. I said, Father, yes, we have the cattle for the offering. We have the wood. Where is the sacrifice lamb? Sacrificial lamb. And that is when Abraham acted again in faith and said, the Lord will do what? Provide himself for a sacrifice. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 3 whole days of nightmare. I can't see him sleeping. I can't see him even eating. I can't see him resting or being. Because, look, we are human beings. This is something that you hold dear, the most important thing. And he went to the third day, come to that place, probably dragging his feet. Maybe it should have been a day journey. He dragged it for 3 days. Hopefully God will change his mind. 3 days later on, he got on the top. There's nowhere to go. In obedience, Isaac succumbed for the father to bind him and willing to sacrifice his own son. It was at that point, counted it down, 60, 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, 1, 2, 3, and, well, God has not spoken until he raised his hand with the sharp knife about to kill his only son. That is, hold it, Abraham. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now I know that you are a faithful and obedient servant. I do not pray that God put me and through you. I don't know what I will do. In fact, I think I know what I will do. I probably will go to some brethren and say, bro, this is what the Lord says. And they will say, kneel down, let's cast out the devil from your head. It is not the Lord. Mm-hmm. I'll go to another person and say, this is what the Lord said. Emmanuel, you are delusional. Is something wrong with you? How will God tell you to do this and that? And I'll say, Lord, so, brother, so-and-so told me not to do it. I do. I'm not going to do it. But that's not Abraham. I'm not sure he consulted anybody on this. He went ahead to fulfill the will of God. This is the Jehovah Jireh, the ram in the thicket. And the Lord said, just look behind you. On the side, there is a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. Take it and offer me a bronze sacrifice. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, the point I'm getting to in this message is when we, me, you, every one of us, those that might be watching this morning, those that are listening here this morning, if I should say, raise our hand, who have issues that is pressing? Who among us have issues that if you can just do anything to get it resolved, I will be one of those that will raise my hand. I can call up to 3. Very pressing situations. And at times, you find yourself at this point as if you are abandoned. At times, you find yourself at this point and say, where is that Jehovah Jireh for me? I've had it perform for Abraham. I've had it perform for Sarah. I had it perform for Jacob. I had it perform for so on and so forth. What of me, Emmanuel? As the people I want to speak to this morning, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord has not forsaken you. He will never forsake you. Amen? The going might be hard. It might be troublesome. It might be challenging. Now you find yourself in the desert place of life. A desert is a barren ground. An unfruitful place. A place that is dried up. A place that is not meant for habitation. A place of even sorrow and pain or fear. A place where you cry and you look at the horizon. And you look and look and look and there is no shadow anywhere. There is nothing to hide from. There's nothing to take shelter in. It's a place of confusion where many of us, when this going gets hard, we trade the plan of God, the plan A, that God has for us for plan B. In other words, you say, well, I have tried all I can and nothing is coming out of this. I'm going to give it up and go with my own plan. Abraham also made that mistake. At a point, Sarah said to her, It's too much. Take my servant Hagar, go into her, conceive, let her bear a child to me. Ishmael was produced. It's been a problem for us since then till now. It is a place that many of us take because the desert place of life is so fearful. And it could be in any area of your personal life. Many of us are going through financial challenges. How am I going to meet up my obligations to my family, to my children, to myself, my business, my work, and so on and so forth? Many of us, it is health issue. Many of us, it's a combination of different things, even children. Many of us, it is people around us. And we need that Jehovah Jireh to come through for us. And we need him to step in and give us a solution like yesterday. And when this thing is pending, and you look up and down, and like David said, where shall my salvation come from? And then the enemy starts to whisper to you, the Lord has abandoned you. The Lord has given up on you. There is no help from you. Brother, sister, I want to tell you, your help cometh from the Lord. Amen? The Lord will meet you at the appointed time. This desert is a place of trial towards progress. It's a place that you are meant to pass through those things. Although I cannot fully explain it, believe me, at times I say, God, is it necessary? You tried me when I was a young man in so many different things, in the middle age, and now at this time also you are putting me through this and that. When is enough going to be enough? I even asked that question myself so I can understand the feeling. And you are not alone in thinking like that at times. You say you are alone in the challenges of life? No. Many of us have not even gone to the level of Moses. Moses, who was anointed by God, who goes to the mountain, and such a glory was shown on him, such an anointing was upon him, that when he comes, he has to cover himself with a veil. Because the anointing, the glory is coming out of him that the children of Israel cannot even look at his face. Moses, who God had taken through so many things, so many challenges, at a point he just came down from the Mount Sinai, rejoicing in God's glory, and the enemy came. The people around him, the people he was supposed to lead, the people that he was guiding, the flocks of the Lord, are the source of his own challenge. They become so much grumbling, complaining, whining every day that Moses could not just handle it again. It is in the Bible. They said to him, we want meat. You don't give us meat. You know, we remember the days we were in Egypt. How we eat fish freely. I was reading it and I was like, my God. These people were in bondage for 400 years. They were killed. They were raped. They were beaten. They were treated like subhuman. They were subhuman over there. But when God brought them out by his right hand, by the might of the Lord, there they are in the wilderness complaining to Moses and say, we miss our garlics. We miss our onions. We miss our cucumbers. We miss all the nice stuff we used to hear there. Hear every day, morning and night and evening, it is manna. We are tired of all this. And Moses said, Lord, I didn't give birth to these children. That's exactly how he said to them. These are not my children. I am tired of this. Do you know that the depression, the challenge, the trouble sometimes was so much on Moses that he said, take my life. I'm fed up with this. So when you are going through this and you are wondering in your own night, hour, or morning, or whatever, you are not alone. Others have been through this. Others will be through it. You will be through it. But one thing I can assure you, the Lord will never leave you or forsake you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You say, is it only Moses? No. Elijah was a man that God has blessed with anointing, with everything. He went about being despairing this power of God, the grace of God in his life. He just came out of Mount Carmel dealing with the prophets of Baal. And then Jezebel wrote to him and said, take this message to him. By this time tomorrow, I'll have your head, one way or the other. He took off running. The situation was overwhelming. He looked at it. I've been fighting this battle forever, Lord. I tried to turn Israel to the Lord. I tell them to turn to you. I'm patching one hole, seven is crawling up. I'm closing one gap, more is coming up, and he was sleeping under the juniper tree. He was there. I said, no word, Lord, I'm fed up. And many of us are saying that at times. I am tired. I am bone weary. What other recourse do I have? I have tried you, Lord, day and night, and I have not gotten that promise. The ram in the thicket seems to be far from me. The Jehovah Jireh you are is manifesting for others and not seeing it for me. You did it for so many people. What have I done that I'm not deserving? I waited on the Lord. I fasted. I prayed. I call on you. I give out of whatever you've given me. I do good to others. I do. And still I am waiting. And so enemy will come and say, the Lord have turned his back on you. Again, I say you are not alone. The Lord will never turn his back on you in the name of Jesus. And what did Elijah do? He said, you know what? I'm fed up. Just let me die. I am no better than my fathers. Take me out of these troubles. But the Lord has some job for you, because there is other thing that the Lord has in plan for him to do. His job is not yet finished. I don't have explanation for you why God allowed these trials to come. Sincerely, I don't. I don't have explanation, because many people, I have asked this sincerely myself, why do these things happen? And great, wonderful people, my elders in the Lord, my betters in the Lord, have tried to explain to me why it is necessary. And my brain cannot get it right. You know, there are certain things I just don't get right. This is one of them. When will it end? When will this one thing from the other? You overcome this, another one is waiting there. It's continuous at times. At times you get a break, like Abraham got a break maybe for 12 years, the child raised, and then, wow, go kill your son. Another one, my God, big one too. I have that feeling. You have that feeling. Many of us do. You may understand it better than me. Of all the things that I don't understand, there is one thing I do understand. And I'll repeat it for the third time to each one of us. God, and I have seen it and proved it, that if I hold on, if I stand my ground, if I remain faithful, if I try to overfeed them, even when I failed at times in the way, his mercy still brings me back from Egypt back to the promised land. One thing I have seen and believe and know for sure is that he who promised is true. Amen? He who promised is true. There is no change. There is no shadow of turning with him. If he says it, he will do it. It may not be at your time. It may not be the way you want it. It may not be exactly how you want it. But God will come through for you in Jesus' mighty name. He will come through. He has promised. And he will not fail on his promises. People can say and not do, but not the Lord. People can promise and fail, but not our God. Do not succumb to the sins of abandonment. That is what is happening to Moses and Elijah. The enemy will tell you the Lord has abandoned you. The enemy will tell you that you are no more beloved of the Lord. Brother and sister, the love of God, they are new every morning. And great is his faithfulness towards you. You may not fully, completely see it at times when the crowd is like brass over your head. You may not completely see it when it seems like the back of God has turned on you. But that's how we feel at times. I've been in these depths, in and out. You may not completely see it when the enemy keeps pumping it into your hand. When you are even friends, I'm telling you to pack up and give up. People close to you say, oh, well, why hold on, Job? Curse God and die. Not just from the wife, but friends, beloved friends, wise people, great people. The enemy will come and pump it into your head and say, you give up on this. Do not ever give up on your dreams. Amen. Do not ever give up on your hope and trust in the Lord. If the Lord has planted that dream, that hope in you, hold on to it. The Lord will come through at the appointed time. It may take a while. It may turn around. It may go this way. It may go that way. It may go to Egypt, but he will bring you back to it in Jesus' mighty name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. You need to count your blessings. Many a times in this dark hour, I say to people or to myself, count your blessings. Remember, write it down. Put it by your bed. Put it on your computer. Put it anywhere you can see it. The things that the Lord has done. Because no matter what we are looking for today, because things keep popping up, one thing or the other, especially maybe great big things, God has done something for each and every one of us. Amen? There is something God has done. Capitalize on this. If he has done this, he can also do this. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do not give up on your prayer. Do not get weary and stop knocking. Keep bugging God every day like that woman that knocked on the judge's door. And he said, I will not listen to her. But one day he said, well, this woman is going to weary me to death. The Bible uses it as an example for me and for you. Keep knocking, amen. Keep being in fellowship, amen. Keep praying, amen. Keep calling on God. At the point, heaven will say, ah, I better do something for Emmanuel. At the point, he will send that angels to move the barrier. Daniel was on it for 21 days. 21 whole days. Waiting for a message from the Lord. Even in this case, God has passed the message, the solution. But there is a prince of Persia on the way. Heaven bulldozer have to be sent to move him out of the way so that the message, the plan of God can come through for you. And it will happen in Jesus' mighty name. So do not be like Israelites who, after a journey of 40 days, turned to 40 years. Because they want to exchange the plan A of God to plan B. Some of us, we start to worry to point, we hurry up to do it our own way, and that's when it backfires, but for God's mercy. So let us learn to hold on. Let us learn to hold on. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Believing that the Lord God who promised is able to do it. Amen. I want to say that Habakkuk looked at this and said, though the fig tree does not blossom, though the labor of the olives has failed, the vine is all dried up. There's no cattle in the fold. There is no sheep in the pens. He said, yet I will do what? I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. You have to bear that in mind. I also want to caution some of us because we see this a lot. Please talk to somebody. Find, if necessary, somebody to counsel, a registered counseling person or somebody from the church, what they call a therapist can do. When it gets overwhelming that you start to grumbling, you start to complain, you start to become demoralized to the point that you are overwhelmed, talk to somebody. Bring that issue to more than one person. Maybe God can help them to guide you and release the pressure. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's nothing wrong in seeking help. Great people have broken under these overwhelming burdens at times. People that seems to be great foundation, no solid rocks in the household of God, have succumbed and yielded. It takes others. That's why it's good to stay in fellowship. Group fellowship. Come together and pray. Women, form friends among yourself. Discuss these things to godly ones, not the one that will tell you to do the wrong things. Seek elderly women that are grounded in the Lord and talk to them for help. Do not just try to deal with it all by yourself when you know you can't handle it, because the enemy will capitalize on that and pass down the wrong message. And being that you are at a point that trial does not see you to allow you to see more than 5 feet before you, the chances of making mistakes can be there. So seek help if you have to. Pray always. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 And lastly, I want to mention that God does come true. That widow woman of the Zarephath, widow of Zarephath, as he says, when she woke up that morning, she prepared food, or wanted to prepare food, and found out that there is only a handful that is left. And the famine was so bad in the land that that is all they have, and after that, her conclusion is, we die, me and my only son. Unknown to her, God has already prepared a ram in the thicket. Jehovah Jireh has already gone before her. And in the person of the same Elijah who want to die, this, you are not dead yet. You have a duty to do. Pack up and go to this woman in Zarephath. I have prepared her to feed you. Oh my God, it's something else. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now the woman have only one handful of meal left. Elijah is broke, no money, no nothing. But he's telling him to go where he will be fed. And so he marched on and saw the woman gathering food. That must be the woman that will feed me. Yep. That is you. Go prepare some meal and give me a little. Give me water first. That one I have. Give her water. Go give me some. Say, we don't have any meal left. We only have one meal left for me and for my son. And after that, we die. But they say, thus say the Lord. Amen. When you seem like there's no hope, there will be a breakthrough. There will be a thus say the Lord. There will be a miracle. There will be a point that goes, stop, Abraham. I've already prepared a sacrifice. I am Jehovah Jireh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. That woman of Sion, that a child died. That morning she thought all hope was lost. The only son of this woman. They were walking to go bury her. But the Lord has already prepared a Jehovah Jireh. The provider himself, a ram in the thicket, a miracle that is waiting for you. So the woman was in procession to go bury her, and then Jesus came by. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. He came by. The Lord will also come by on your way. Amen. The Lord will walk across your problem. Amen. The Lord will speak to your problem. Amen. He will halt the procession for you. And open the bracket that covered up and say, young man, arise. And the dead son, the woman now have a living son. That is our Jehovah Jireh. Blind Bartimaeus didn't know that morning it will be a day that the Lord will come through for him. Every day he came to that roadside to beg for food. Nobody would have told him he couldn't see. There's no newspaper, no radio to play that Jesus is coming by. But when he heard the noise, and people were walking up and down, he said, what is happening? He said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is passing by. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He raised his voice. He started to shout, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. That is one prayer I want us to always remember. When the going is hard, when you don't know when to talk, when it seems you have done everything okay and it's still not working out, call on God on his mercy. Amen. Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. They say, shut up. Close your mouth. Why are you disturbing the master? But your voice of cry penetrated even among the tumult, among all the noises, and came to Jesus, spoke to him. And he said, wow, what would you want me to do? I was like, what a question. I'm blind. What else? It might be more than that. But he said, I am blind. Let me receive my sight. And he said, well, receive your sight. It wasn't so that morning. What I'm saying is that things can change to you dramatically, suddenly, when you least expect it. That's how Jehovah Jireh works. Amen? Keep holding on. When he will break through, it will be so sudden. May not be planned. It may not be arranged. It may not be how you think about it. He will break through. I've seen God come through in such a way. I say, my God, this is what I've been praying for. Has come to pass. The woman with the issue of blood, that morning, he must have, oh my God, has 12 whole years. 12 whole years. Chronic situation. She has pumped her money into people, doctors, herbalists, all of them. Couldn't find a solution. But one day, blessed be the name of the Lord. I say one day for your situation, one day for my situation, one day for you. You that is listening, one day, amen. One day, the master will be on site. The Jehovah Jireh will be there. All you have to do is to touch the hem of his garment. Say, who have touched me? I say, what are you talking? Who touched you? There are 100 of us around here. There are 200, there are 10 or dozens of people. Everyone is stronging you. Say, no, but virtue has gone out of me. Somebody touched me by faith. The woman trembling came and said, I have touched you. Say, go. You have made whole. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want you to know that you are not alone. Because when we preach Jehovah Jireh, everybody look at it and say, well, oh, great. Look at what the Lord has done. See what he did for me. He did for my finances. He did for my children. He did for my marriage. He did for my business. And you are there saying, where is my own? When will God break through for me? Again, for the fourth time or more this week, the Lord will come through for those that wait on him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hang on, brethren. The challenge to us is that we have an enemy we fight. But Christ has overcome him for us. He is the Lord that will provide. This morning, if you are listening, the first step you have to take is to give your life to Christ. Take him up on a call to that journey like he called Abraham. To come out of that thing, that dead way, that place, to a promised land with him. I cannot say that the way is not going to be easy. He didn't make it easy. I don't figure it out. I just believe and walk on. But one thing you have to believe is that the heavens will pass away. Everything can fall to the ground. But the word of God is real. I have proved it in my life times and times that his word is true. And that he that promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you, it is true also. He sees your burden. His eyes is even on the sparrows of the field. And believe me, he watches you. He knows you. He understands you. People may not understand you. People may not associate with what you are going through. They may not figure you out. They may even look at you and say, hell, the Lord have cursed him or her. Look at him. Look at her. How it is failed in every aspect. And the enemy will speak to you and say, oh, I lost so much. You have lost so much because the favor of the Lord is not with you. This is what the enemy does. Abandon all those voices. Hold on to Jesus. Amen? Do not listen to them. Others have failed, and yet the Lord showed them mercy. Your course will not be different in Jesus' mighty name. Others have taken a long route, and yet the goodness of God came through for them. Your own will not be different in the mighty name of Jesus. As you continue believing, the Lord will come through. He will shine for you. He will take you out of that miry clay. He will put you upon that rock. He will even put a song in your mouth, even a song of praise, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us pray. If you have such situation, you just believe with me as we pray. You just hold on to God like I am holding. Father, we thank you. Lord, we bless your holy name. You say your eyes is even on the sparrows of the field. And therefore we know he watches over me. Lord, there are many children of yours here, sitting here this morning, who have issues they've been holding on to for weeks or months or years. And they are calling on God to show forth for them. They want to be at that mountaintop, Lord, to receive their ram in the thicket, caught by the horns. A prepared sacrifice, a way out. Show yourself a provider for us this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Break through for us, Lord. In your mercy, in your providence, come through for us. Grant our heart desires in Jesus' mighty name. That thing that is pressing over us, Lord. That thing that they have said will not come true. Science says it won't come true. The knowledge of man says it's not come true. I speak in the mighty name that man is man, but God is God. And because you are God, there is nothing impossible with you. Show forth your providence and bring a solution out of this chaos, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Let our testimony come back and let it be. See what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. What we are waiting for has come to pass. See what the Lord has done. I say, see what the Lord has done. Check up, Akuri Masara. See what the Lord has done. What we waited for has come to pass. See what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. See what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. See what the Lord has done. What we waited for has come to pass. See what what we wear. In Jesus' name, your dues are fully paid. It's time for reaping the harvest in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah.
What we waited for
is saying to somebody this morning, I believe it, to two people. One was called out. He said, your dues are fully paid. In other words, you are paid in full. It is time for you to receive your reward. Claim it in Jesus' mighty name. Claim it in the name of Jesus Christ. Your dues are fully paid. It is time for you to receive your reward on this issue that has hurried for too long. The Lord God is saying to you, believe. It is done and over with. Jehovah Jireh has broken through for you. You have caught your ram in the ticket. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.